Jesus. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. Apes that they fool. Run through the night. Playing with your life.
All right, folks, we're back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. Special hoop season review with special guest Matt Coe, underscore Matt Coe, Red Solo Sports Podcast. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. I love hopping on and talking NC State with you, so thank you again.
All right, so for the people that want to know or don't know, I've been trying to sucker Matt in to join the website officially, and so if you're out there listening, peer pressure Matt into jumping on board and merging into the network. Well, Matt wrote a good piece that I want to get into. I'm going to post it with this podcast, NC State Hoop Season Review. Matt, your perspective, what was your overall grade for the pack? Let's start there.
So originally it was a B going into the NIT. I thought this team at 4-8, they exceeded expectations. I mean, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. It was a lot of gray clouds. And I thought that they played great up to the NIT. Really, the ACC tournament is where they started to fizzle out. So I'm going to go with a C. I know you originally gave them a C minus, but I'm going to go with a C just because, you know, it's passable, it's doable. We did what we could with what we had. And I think it all just kind of stops there. Just a very average, blah kind of season, you know?
I do know. And I kind of have, I think, I don't remember if I was on a podcast or it was in the chat where we were kind of talking about this, and I would go with a C minus. And, you know, it's always hard looking in hindsight. There were so many factors in with this season. For me, I feel like that 6-game winning streak in there was a lot of product of bad competition and then an off night for UVA. And I know it's kind of discrediting, you know, what they did, but that's just generally how I feel. Like, if you look at the reality of it, those teams they beat weren't very good. And they played hard and they played well at those times, and you wanted that all season. But how much of that is because the competition was so bad, and how much of it is because, hey, this is the potential, they reached their potential? What do you think?
Well, I definitely agree with you that it's the product of the schedule. Even though, you know, 6-game winning streak, it feels good. You know, a win's a win no matter who you play. You know, it's just a C. I'm going to give him a C just because it's average. You know, it is what it is. It's nothing. It's not good. It's not great. You'll take it. Hope to do better next semester, you know. But, you know, it definitely is a product of the schedule. But I think losing Devin Daniels, you're led by mostly freshmen. You're very dependent on freshmen. This team had every reason to give up, and for that, I'll just give them a slight bump. But I do completely agree that it's the product of the schedule. Now, they could have went out there and not played hard like that Dennis Smith Jr. team. They could have lost those games easily because, let's be honest, I mean, this was a really bad NC State team before that winning streak came about. So, you know, I agree, though. It is a product of the schedule.
So, as they say, C's get degrees. And NITs, right? I mean, that's
yeah, exactly.
One thing you put in there, and this is one of the 1 points you made, a lot of good points, but this one I disagree with. That, or is it? All right, I'm going to read this verbatim. For me, making the NIT isn't the worst thing ever, but it's obviously not what we want as fans. Only two teams can hoist a trophy at the end of the year: NCAA tournament champion and NIT champion. No team is better than the NIT. I disagree. Like, I get the point, but to me, the NIT has a lot of negative connotations. And I think I've said this before. I'm probably repeating myself at some point, but I think it gets used against people, especially in recruiting. You know, if State and Carolina both after Dontrez Styles, right? And they go after him, and Keats is in there. I'm like, yeah, you know, come play for us, blah, blah, blah. You know, Roy Williams follows in with, come play for us if you want to make the tournament and, you know, play for national championships. it's kind of a hard act to follow, you know? So I think being a perpetual NIT team can be bad. Now, like a one-off NIT bid for a young team that, you know, like Gita said at some point, hey, we want to let them learn how to win in the postseason. Like, I get that. That makes sense. But being a perpetual NIT team, and kind of where we are, that to me is a bad thing.
Okay, so I understand completely where you're coming from with the NIT. The NIT is not something to be proud about. Nobody's proud to be in the NIT. Nobody's happy to be in the NIT. I'd much rather go to the NCAA tournament, get blown out by 20 or so, like Carolina did against Wisconsin, rather than make a deep run in the NIT. Absolutely. But winning the NIT, which NC State hasn't done, winning the NIT gives you a different perspective on your season, and it definitely can carry over into future season success. I think that it gives you that little bit of, you know, chip on your shoulder. But the problem with the NIT is that it's, you know, nothing to win and everything to lose. If you lose the NIT, then it's, you know, you suck. You lost the NIT. I mean, you couldn't even win in the NIT, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, let's check ourselves as NC State fans. And I hate to be so crucial, but let's be honest, we have a Sweet 16 banner hanging in PNC. So, you know, we have a participation trophy hanging in the banners, and I don't know why they have that in there. But so for us making the NIT, you know, I'm not going to view it as completely negative. Like I said in the piece that I wrote, you know, nobody's better than the NIT. You know, if you were better than the NIT, you'd make the NCAA tournament.
It's a good point. Like, you know, and you said that before, and I thought it was one of the best points you've ever made, is we have participation banners in, you know, hanging in the PNC. People need to adjust their expectations. And it's completely accurate, right? It's just, you just said that, and I'm like, yep, that's exactly right. You know,
yeah, it sucks. 'Cause like, I love NC State with all my heart, but at the same time, if we're going to succeed as a program, we have to view ourselves out from the outside looking in, and from the outside looking in, we're a joke to most teams. And let's be honest, not very good programs go to the NIT. And this is now the second time in 4 years that we've gone to the NIT. So by fact, and, you know, by definition, you know, we're not a very good program right now. And had we won the NIT or made a deep run, who knows, maybe we're looking at it different. But as for right now, we just have to check ourselves at the door.
Yeah, I agree. One more thought on the overall score, and Keats did a really good job of getting his guys to play hard all year. And the NIT, you know, that game against Colorado State, the body language was completely different. It just feels like something else was going on. That wasn't the same effort that we saw, you know, in those other games. Even that first round game against Davidson, they played pretty good. They played hard. They, you know, did a lot of things right. But that last game, it was a really bad way to go out, because you feel like you should have beat that team just based on pure athleticism and basketball skills and height, you know, all these things that factor in. But and so that's kind of why I think people might have a little bit more sour taste, so to speak, just because of the way the season ended. Like, you can lose the NIT if you lose well and play hard and, you know, play well against a better team. Sure, fine. Losing against a team that you probably should have beaten, it's kind of leaves sour taste in people's mouth. So,
I'll say this. This is what I just thought about. Let's put it in perspective. So let's say you ever been to a zoo, and you go into the zoo and it's great and it's fun for the first 30 minutes. And then you realize it's hot, it's muggy, it gets smelly. You just halfway through, you're just like, I don't want to be here anymore. And you turn around, you go home, pack up the car and leave. I feel like that's how players are looking at the tournament right now. Look at the last week. So they took both NIT and NCAA. They both played those games and then took a week off. It's been a week since NC State played. It's been a week since NCAA tournament teams have played. So the wow factor of, wow, we're finally back. It's March basketball. We're getting to play after 2 years. This is great. That effect kind of wore off for most teams. The only team that it didn't wear off against is Gonzaga, and Gonzaga's beaten 28 out of 29 teams by double digits. So, and that's just because they're an outlier, because they're just ridiculous on offense. But I think the effect of the tournament wore off on these guys, and it just, they just weren't excited to be there because, let's be honest, it's the NIT and they've taken a week off now. So
yeah, it's, it was a weird bubble that they traveled to, then left, and then traveled back to. It's like, I don't know what was going on there. It's strange. The other thing you said in there, you know, where do we go from here? Right. And I think I retweeted it this weekend. Somebody had mentioned, and it was in a completely different context, talking about a style of play. I guess Shaka Smart, when he left Texas to go to Marquette, and the commentary on Twitter was, you know, his style of play from VCU didn't translate to Texas, and you know, does that style of play work? And then somebody mentioned, like, not even a State fan, saying Kevin Keats is going through the same sort of struggle going from UNCW to NC State with that style as well. And you kind of touched on it both offense and defensively in here, but like offensively in particular, this team doesn't shoot enough threes, and partly because they don't have enough shooters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to have shooters in today's game, and NC State just doesn't have it. And they don't really have a whole lot coming in unless we see some in the transfer portal.
So what is your outlook going forward? Like,
well, you know, I'm not expecting anything great. I think best case scenario, NC State can be a top 6 or 7 team next season in the ACC. The thing about Blue Bloods is that they always bounce back, and Florida State has been consistent and Virginia has been consistent. Everybody said this is a bad defensive team from Virginia, and they finished 8th in defensive efficiency. So, you're right. We need more threes. I mentioned that in the piece. We have to get size. We have to get wings that can shoot. Just 3 and D. Run on the side of the court. Shoot threes, because we do not have it right now. I mentioned also about the defense. You know, under Kevin Keats, you know, at NC State, he hasn't had a top 60 defense. And honestly, I feel like last season, this past season, the defense was probably some of the worst. And with no offense and no shooting, what do we have? You know, Kevin Keats isn't an X and O's guy. We've talked about that multiple times. So he's not an X's and O's guy. He can't really call plays out of timeouts. And on top of that, we're not doing what we do best in the sense of turning people over and getting in transition. Now you're left with a big old play to nothing. So you have to hit on the transfer market, and there are going to be a lot of transfers. They're already transfers committing left and right and decommitting and whatnot. So you have to go get that. And then on top of that, you need to go get a center for the future. I don't think that Ebi Diwana and Jalen Gibson are ready yet. I'm not saying they can't be. I just don't think that they're ready yet to play 20 plus minutes a night, just in case Bates happens to go to the NBA. It's a lot of deciding factors that I don't think Keats really took into consideration before this season.
So something you mentioned right there, you know, X's and O's. And I'll give you an example of that, because I agree with that. I think, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Keats says he knows what he's doing. And he might, right? The end of that Colorado State game, he called a play, stagger screen. They were trying to get DJ to the basket for an easy two. Ends up with Jericho taking a sort of, I don't know, fadeaway three. Maybe not the best shot. But after the game, he said, yeah, that wasn't exactly the shot we wanted. You know, we called this play, and, you know, I'll live with Cole taking that shot. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but he called a play, and the guys didn't run it. And I think that it's hard to judge, you know, an X's and O's coach if you're calling X's and O's and the guys aren't executing them, right? I mean, I think it's – and you're not maybe coaching them to execute them for some reason. Do they not understand it? You know, something I work with my 6-year-old all the time. I'm like, just don't agree with me. If you don't understand something, ask a question. Tell me, hey, daddy, I don't understand.
Right.
Because he has a tendency to say, uh-huh, and then he doesn't understand it and go on and do whatever.
Right.
Like, you have to connect that connection. So are the guys not understanding what he's saying? Is he not communicating it properly? Because for them to run a play, then get a shot that it's not what he was trying to get, makes me wonder what's happening there. So,
I think going to Jericho was the right play. I think that that's who you go to, and that's who you're going to have to go to next season, because he's going to take on that captain role. I would love to get it inside to DJ Funderburk, who shot 6 of 7 in this game. I would love to go to the big man inside to Manny Bates, but we had so many turnovers in this game. We can't get the ball inside if we're turning the ball over left and right. So yes, the idea to go inside was a great idea, but you have to actually physically get the ball inside, and we could not do that all night. So I think, yes, the right play was to go to Jericho, but what in the hell was that last play? I left that game. I wasn't even upset. I actually left laughing just of how bad that was drawn up and executed. I was actually laughing. I don't know what to make of it. I think that if you're going to shoot that three, which you didn't even need because you still had an extra timeout, you're only down two. There's 22 seconds in the shot clock. Go get a quick two. Put the pressure back on Colorado State. I agree with the fact that it's the NIT. You know, put all your chips on the table, see what you got. But, I mean, damn, at least be smart about it.
Yeah, I agree. It just leaves you a lot of questions. And watching teams play in the NCAA tournament and even the NIT, and watching them execute better towards the end of the games.
Well, it's easy to execute. Well, it's easy to execute when you have shot makers. I mean, last night UCLA and Alabama were just going back and forth, back and forth. I don't even know how many ties they had amongst them. I don't think the score is indicative of how that game actually went. But NC State just doesn't have that. And I think Cam can become that, but he needs to be more desirable to go inside. He can't just rely on his three-point shooting, because I don't think it's that it's necessarily elite enough. It's solid, but it's not elite enough. And outside of Cam, who's really a shot maker? And I don't even think Cam's all that much of a shot maker. I think he's a great player, but not a shot maker right now. And teams that you're seeing in the tournament right now have shot makers and the ability to go get a bucket. We just don't have that.
I think if you look at the roster as it is now and as it's projected for next year, and you ask the question, hey, if you ask any fan this, where do you project NC State to finish next year? Right? It's got to be somewhere in the 8 to 12 range, just based on roster, right? Even if you don't have any turnover, right? Other than your seniors, there's just not a lot of, like you said, shot makers there. And so Keats has got work to do to identify people in the portal. Now, there's 977 players in the portal at this moment. That number is going to go up. He's got to get some that are going to be able, that can score, that can shoot, that can like make shots. Because right now, I don't think you have enough of those guys, like you said. So I completely agree that there's a big disconnect there.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, he's a good recruiter. He's shown the ability to be able to recruit and see talent early on. I mean, look at Breon, look at Terquavion. He has that ability in him. It's just, can he put it together? I think 8 is just not doable. Like I said, that's why I said like 6-7 is the absolute highest ceiling for NC State next season. And that's if Jericho plays at a second all ACC caliber type of player. That's if Cam Hayes becomes arguably a top 8 or so point guard in the ACC. Sebron is going to have to learn how to shoot the ball. I mean, there's so many ifs and so many hopes. And if you're relying on hope, you really don't have a chance at all. So I've got them penciled in right now early on between that 9 to 12 range, and 9 being generous.
They really need to hit the transfer portal. One guy you identified that I really like, you made a really good strong case for, Deontay Allen of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Give me the.
Well, I love Deontay Allen. I think he is possibly an NBA prospect. I mean, he's 6'6". He is a sharp shooter. He is a bullseye from the three. He actually didn't – the stats don't pop out to you. You know, he only averaged 5 points a game, 1.5 rebounds, 39% shooting. When you look at that, you think, you know, who's this Joe Schmo? But the problem is that he actually didn't even play up until about the 6th or 7th game, when Kentucky was, I believe, 1-6 in their season. I mean, their season was shot, and Coach Cal didn't even want to play him then. The only reason why Coach Calipari played him was ultimately because fans were outraged that he wasn't playing. This is arguably your best shooter on the team, and he still isn't playing for a team that still can't hit threes. He finished second on the team with 31 made threes. He shot 39.7% from the three. And in his first start, he had 23 points, 7-11 from the three. So he's a guy that I think NC State could desperately use. Now, his defense isn't the best, but when you're out there making that many shots from the three-point line, I don't really think it matters. I mean, look at Sam Hunt. He couldn't guard anybody, but he was out there making up for it because he'd hit threes. You know what I'm saying? So now, he hasn't said that he's coming back to Kentucky yet. He said he hasn't said that he's leaving, nothing. His mom suggests that he is going to come back, but parents always speak for their kids all the time. So who knows? That would be my perfect scenario player to go get. Now, if you can't go get him, you still have to go after a guy that's 6'5 to 6'7 that can just knock down threes. And until you get that, I just can't really see any signs of hope for this team.
That is a painful but realistic look at next year. I think you're right. I think the portal is going to be everything. There's still so much up in the air at the moment. And I know me and a lot of other fans are just waiting for, you know, something to happen because it almost feels inevitable. And so it's so hard to project a roster and needs when you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what needs you have or what players are gone, right? But it feels inevitable. Somebody's going to leave, so you have spots to replace. And I think Keats has got to do better identifying the type of talent that can play in the ACC. You kind of touched on your piece, and you went into a little bit more detail than that. But I think that's the way to summarize it, man. I think he needs to get better at identifying that kind of talent and bringing that talent in at a consistent level.
Yeah,
it's out there. Thousand players out there,
and I feel like physicality is another big need for this team. Physicality on the rebound margin. I mean, this team finished 298th out of 340 teams for rebounds per game at 32. So, and when you have two really solid guys in Funderburk and Bates, and you still can't rebound the ball, huge concern. And that's what's so detrimental to this team. Like, do you need shooting? Do you need rebounding? You need both drastically, but which one do you go after first? There's just so many holes in this team that I don't think have been addressed. So,
yeah, that's a philosophy issue, I think. And you know, you kind of touched on it with, style play and whatnot. But when you're consistently a bad rebounding team, that is, there's no excuse for that, right? That's completely effort. The kid from Colorado State, 6'5", he averaging double digit rebounds just based on effort alone. Right. And, you know, Keats needs to get more out of his guys in that regards. He needs to emphasize that more.
Yeah.
But all right, y'all check out Matt's piece on the website, Red White Network. You follow Matt at _MattCo, Red Solo Sports Podcast. And as always, thanks for listening. Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Thank you, man.